Yes. Good morning. Good morning. God bless you. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Job, the Old Testament book of Job, and the 36th chapter. If you would stand for the reading of the Word of God, we're just going to read one verse, talk about the context, but this verse is what we're going to focus on. These words of 2,500 to 3,000 years old from Elihu to Job and his friends are so very pertinent for our situation right now today. And we're going to title this message, What is God by Adversity? Heavenly Father, I want to glorify the Godhead with this message today. I want people to hear the voice of God from the Word of God. And so I pray that the Holy Spirit would empower me to help our hearts hear the Word of Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And you may be seated. Well, I'm sure many of you, if not most of you, know the story of Job. Job was a good, godly man who had been going through tremendous suffering. And he had been living right, and he had been being very careful. But here he was. He had lost his family, his wealth, and his health. And to make matters worse, three of his friends had been telling him that he must have been doing something wrong for all this bad to happen. It's a cause and effect, they were saying. Job, there must be some secret sin. There must be some sort of thing going on with you. You need to search your heart because obviously God would not allow you to be treated this way unless that was the truth. Of course, if you know the story, you know it was the devil who would ask permission to torment Job. And it got worse and worse. And God allowed the devil to do everything, took all of his family except his wife, took all of his children, his land, and all this, and we don't know all the reasons why, except we do know that God has used this example to teach us down through the ages. And it's not about what was Job doing wrong, it was about showing you what God wants you to do right in the midst of wrong. Now, after Job's three friends had each spoken their piece, a young man named Elihu, he comes and gives another perspective to all this. And he says that in times of trouble, it's not our place to accuse God's character or to question God's motive or despair of God's justice. God is good and righteous, and instead of turning away from Him in these troubles, we must turn to Him and trust in Him no matter what. And he says, in our immediate context here, he's saying that instead of adding to our affliction by hypocrisy and a prideful attitude, what we need to do is listen to what God is saying and learn His wisdom, but only the humble will hear Him. And I want your heart to hear this message today. I want you to be like Jesus said, He that has ears to hear, let him hear. As we sing, open the eyes of my heart. But we must be humble and accept what God is saying to us. So what does this mean for us today? What is God saying to us during this pandemic? Is He saying anything new to us? Is He saying anything to us at all? Because a lot of people have a lot of speculation and want to be like their prophets and saying, God is saying this and that, and they all seem to contradict each other, don't they? First it's don't wear a mask if you have faith. Then it's wear a mask and don't be foolish. Then it's this, then it's that, and all of these different things. And it means America has to wake up. Well, you know, that's always been the case. We need revival. Well, that's always been the case. Is God saying anything that we can apply? And I mean to tell you yes, but you know how it is in the world right now. Many people are panicked. The pandemic has become a panic. And people wonder what's going to come out of all this. There's so much affliction, discomfort, uncertainty all over the world. There's a growing sense of despair as the numbers of sick and dead keep rising. Just when we thought we in Florida were going to be done with this, it's getting worse. And there's people saying, it's just a conspiracy. It's not really real. And then someone you know is on their deathbed. Lots of people in the United States are being angry about this whole thing. The economy is in some ways at a standstill. Some people don't have to worry about it. They got fixed incomes. Those incomes are still fixed. Other people have lost their jobs and are about to lose their unemployment. There's a lot going on. And our way of life has been drastically altered. Movies, sports, concerts, shopping, school, and even church. Nothing is as it was, and it may never be again. Of course, God's still the same. Praise His name. Even so, the loss of jobs, childcare, loved ones, the physical isolation, as well as a host of other emotional and spiritual wounds have made a lot of people more suspicious, angrily opinionated. Just, you need to moderate your social media consumption, I've got to tell you that, and your regular media consumption. I know we have more time than ever to do it, but you need to be checking your heart as we do it. People are more susceptible to sin, it seems. You know, people are made to connect. We need connection. Amen? That's what it is. And in some ways, we still can. But that face-to-face interaction, and especially the tactile communication, that sense of touch, right? People don't want you to hug them, and I understand that. Or shake hands. Are we never going to do that again? What about just the elbow bump? Now people don't even want to do that. And what happened to the holy kiss? Oh, my. And I understand all that. But we're missing a lot of that. And it seems this limitation makes it easier for people just to hide out and then just become miserable. Or think, this is the life. I just want to watch TV all day anyway. But something is different. And it may not come back the way we want or expect. I've always thought since the beginning of this, well, one day, you know, maybe later this year, you know, we'll just go back to normal. Then it's like, okay, it's the new normal. Then it's like, well, this is not really the new normal. Then it's like, well, we're going backwards. And all of this, and it can be, let me introduce a term to you. I like to call misery math. When things are bad, and then all of a sudden you get bad news on top of that, you tend to think ahead and think like a teenager will do, this is just going to be bad and it's only going to get worse, so I'm going to look mad and angry and sad too. And we do that as adults. We do that as children. We do that as older people. We do that because we think, I don't see where the hope is, and we're doing math we don't even really understand. And God wants to eliminate our misery math and to see His deliverance even now while this pandemic is going on, and He has a word for us today. In the context of this pandemic, there's lots of opinions, lots of speculation, people trying to be helpful, but what we really need, what we really want is a word from God. Amen? Is that what we want? We want a word from God. And God is speaking to us. He has a word for us. He has a word for you today through these very words of Elihu to Job and his friends. Oh, yes. This word is somewhere between 2,500 and 3,000 years old. And yet it's still the very word that God is speaking to us in our particular situation today, and I mean to show you that very clearly. God has something to say. The world needs to listen. America needs to listen. The church needs to listen. You need to listen. Will you humble yourself and hear? Now let's look at the text. We're just looking at one verse. We talked about the context, but here in this one verse, there's a principle as to how God is doing things and what He's doing with us now in this pandemic. When Elihu says He delivers the afflicted, what does he mean by affliction? He means being made poor in spirit. Heard those words before? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That was our Lord Jesus Christ. Afflicted, humbled, brought low. That sounds like our world today, and in differing degrees. Some people are flourishing. They're doing well. Some people are having a harder time than others. Other people we don't even know because they won't be contacted. Right? There's a lot going on, but people have all been brought low. You know, that's the thing about God. And you know, don't get too proud when things are going good, because He can change it to not so good just like that. And don't be too despairing when things are so bad, because He can change it to good just like that. And we're going to show you that. But it says He delivers the afflicted. Now, we don't have to look around beyond the person next to you or even in the mirror to know that we're all afflicted. We can't go to the store the same way. I don't like wearing a mask. My face is too little. I don't know. I can't even see. I don't like the thing. I went shopping yesterday for a new bathing suit because I lost 50 pounds. And yet, everybody's looking at you funny because I take my mask down for a second so I can actually read what the price is. And they're looking like we're going to kill you. Okay, all right. And so there's a lot to be miserable about. Let's face the facts. It's true. And then some of you are looking at me saying, yeah, but wait till you get to be 70 and you got to, I know. I've had a heart attack, I've had a stroke, I've had things, I understand, things are, you know. I tell people, if I can just have a baby, then no one can give me any excuses at all. But you know what it's like. Everybody knows what it's like, to differing degrees and differing measures. Children have not had to go through this before. We didn't have to go through this. I had to crawl under a desk because I live in Florida in the Kennedy Space Center, and, you know, they did that till the early 70s because, you know, nuclear war and the Cuban Missile Crisis and all that. So we know what weird things are that other people haven't experienced, but this thing with virtual school, and are they going back to school? Are they not going back to school? They could change it next week. So there's a lot of going on that people are not used to, and everybody wants to act like they've got it all figured out, and no one's got it figured out, and everybody that acts like they have figured out is lying. Everybody is, at this point, in some measure afflicted. Now, when he says, and opens their ear by adversity, what God is saying through Elihu and to us is saying that through this adversity, God helps you to understand how he works, and you begin to see why he has allowed this affliction. God shakes us up to wake us up. And like Job, sometimes it's not about trying to find out what you did wrong, but to understand what God wants you to do right. It's not always, see, repent, America, and that person that's saying that needs to repent too. Right? I understand that. God is always saying that. Repentance and faith, that's the whole counsel of God. When Jesus said, repent and believe the gospel, Martin Luther said in the first of his 95 theses that means the whole life of a believer is repentance. You're turning away from yourself and turning towards God. So we know that. But it's not always, you know, everything's bad, and so, oh, I've got to find out what I'm doing wrong. What's God trying to teach me? Just to be faithful. It may not be anything. Was Job doing stuff wrong? No. That's why this is in the Bible. Don't let people beat you up. Oh, there must be some kind of thing. There might not be some kind of thing. There might be some kind of thing. But it's not always about that. Is God saying, oh, I'm shaking the world with COVID, so now the world needs to listen and hear what I'm having to say, and then these guys are going to charge you in 1995, say, do this, and I'll tell you what it is. You know, come on. Let me just ruin the whole thing for you. He's saying the same thing he always does. I'm just going to show you in this text how he's doing it. But people want to act like they've got something, and what we've got is the Word of God. That's our authority. That's what I'm counting on. And when he says he opens our ears by adversity, God allows the affliction of his children. And it's not only for discipline, correction, reproof, instruction. He does do that. But he also allows affliction so that you will listen to him whisper in your ears. To hear him tell you how he loves you, even though you are suffering. He tells you how he's chosen you for everlasting life and happiness, even though you're now in the fires of affliction. He tells you that he is your covenant God, and he keeps your soul in this adversity. It can't always be. Sometimes it is, but Job was not doing something so wrong. It's that God was showing him how to do things right and showing us now as an example that he's the potter, we're the clay, and when other people try to accuse you, it must be this, it must be that, you're not listening to them, you listen for God. We're just getting started. He says he's forgiven all your sins. He's going to be with you as a deliverer now. Hear that. And he will fully and finally deliver you from all affliction and adversity into eternity. Now, to the heart of what I want to tell you. In this time of uncertainty and crisis, the heart of what God says to us today is found when Elihu says he delivers the afflicted by their affliction. This is very important. One day you will be fully and finally delivered from all affliction and adversity, but there is also a deliverance for you right now, even while the affliction remains. Even if you are on your deathbed with this virus. You see, this deliverance is not about immediate rescue from the trouble. We always place that as that's the most important thing. And we do pray for rescue. We do pray for relief. We do pray for people to get over it. Of course we do, and of course we want that. And many times God honors that and answers that. But then we relegate this other deliverance to a lesser status when it is actually the greater status. Because everybody gets affliction, but if we have something that transcends and transforms affliction, that's better than getting delivered from it. That's more powerful. That means nothing. What do you think it means? No weapon formed against you shall prosper. That we are the biggest and the baddest and we can show off? No. Renew your mind. Listen to what I'm telling you. And be empowered and inspired today. Again, this deliverance is not about immediate rescue from the trouble. Rather, this is about an inner deliverance. God supports you with His presence, supplies you with His peace, comforts you by His power, and His grace grows your patience. He, in this way, frees you from doubts and fears and unbelief by drawing your heart and affections out of the world and onto Himself. This affliction is the very instrument that made you get closer to God. And so He causes you to hear, to understand, and to do the will of God. He opens your ears by your adversity. And then He delivers you by your own affliction to Himself. To a greater revelation of Himself. To realizing He's the potter, I'm the clay. This thing can't harm me. I'm made in the image of God. I've been redeemed by God. Rest of the world goes, oh, come on, you're sick, this, that, and the other thing. You're just spouting out words. That's what they would say to Jesus on the cross. If you're the Son of God, let yourself down. Oh, He says, save yourself, and He can't save Himself. Renew your mind. Think with God's thoughts. Think after Him. See with His eyes. He says He's opening your ears right now to this. He delivers the afflicted by, not in, by. Oh yes, this means what you think it's coming. By their affliction. This is so powerful. God uses the very affliction you're in as a means to deliver you. The very thing that was meant to hurt you winds up helping you. This affliction, this adversity, it can make you more like Jesus, experience more of Him, and be more fully able to share Him with others. That's the power of God. In this way, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, but rather that very weapon becomes a tool of your prosperity. Think about this carefully. Because the Bible says you're transformed by the renewing of your mind. And you need to renew your mind about those passages which seem to say nothing bad will ever happen to you and that God will deliver you. Because those don't seem real at all. Not when you're down in the dumps, are they? But these promises are more real than you might have imagined. They don't mean nothing bad ever happens. They mean nothing that happens is actually bad. Now, well, they're bad, but they're not bad in the sense that these weapons, these afflictions, these adversities, they actually work towards your good to bring you closer to Jesus and make you more like Him. And you're saying, well, can't I just do that without all this? Apparently not. And you say, yes, but if I was doing it, what about those people that don't have to go through that? That means they're doing it right. No, you're doing the same thing, the cause and effect. Stop that. Get out of that. That's the rest of the world. That's the big church that everybody loves down the street. That's not God. God says, I'm going to put you in that thing, that stale thing that you don't like to make you more like Jesus, and that's the thing. I'm going to do something that how would this mess with me as a minister? But then you heard from the guy. They're all going through it. Remember? Sorry, I'm getting a little personal with some of my people that I love. I love all of you. And I'm telling you, God loves you, and that's what He does. He says, look, I'm so powerful that I'll let you get a few scars and things like that to show you that doesn't hurt you. It's me and you. This is just flesh. This is just what you can get rid of. This is what you won't take to heaven with you. I'm showing you what you will. And no matter what they did to Jesus, it didn't matter. He's like, go ahead, make my day. Make the universe new again by killing me and me rising again and starting a whole new creation. The full armor of God doesn't mean you don't get attacked. It means they can't touch what's most important. You say, I want to be more like Jesus. Yeah, you want to heal people, do this, anything? Do you want Him as He really is? And to show you as He really is, that no matter what wounds are inflicted upon you, you don't have to touch the hem of Jesus' garment when you're wearing it. may want to get a PDF of this or listen to this over and over again and get this down. Just meditate on this one verse. He delivers the afflicted by their affliction and opens their ears by adversity. Can anyone hear? Again, truly, nothing can stop you because nothing can stop God. And God makes everything work for your good, no matter how bad it may seem. And it's not just the end justifies the means, it's the means all the way through. He's not just the Alpha and Omega, he's all the other letters too. When things are bad, like they were for Job, and then more bad news comes on top of it, like the friends just telling him he must be doing something wrong. Or you've got bad news about your job, and now you're late on this payment, and now someone leaves you, and whatever else may happen. We're tempted to do misery math. To think that this is only going to turn out bad, and it's just going to feel worse and worse all the way through. Listen to this word. And let your adversity open your ears to the possibility of God's power. And in a new way. Not that I get out of all this and I never have any trouble and all this. No. Let God be able to transform your trouble. Trust God to turn your affliction into the instrument of your deliverance. Think about that. Turn your affliction into the instrument of your deliverance. Only God can do that. Only God would have thought of that, because I wouldn't have thought about that. I just want to get out of the trouble. I don't want to get in trouble at all. But everybody finds their way into trouble. That's why this is worldwide. So that the whole world can hear this. Who are you going to turn to? We're going to invent some vaccine. There'll be some other virus. We're going to, control the weather. Really? How's that going? We're going to solve the energy crisis? Okay. We're going to give everybody $1,000 a month or whatever. Is that all going to work? Not in the long run, because no man can climb his way out of his own heart. The world is still the world. And God is still God. And that's the message he's giving. It's like, are you going to listen now? The church has to listen and say, not, we've done so wrong. No. Just turn to God and say, we're trusting in him. We're going to testify of him, no matter what the rest of the world says, because when everything is dark, who do they look for? The one with the flashlight, and we're the ones with the light. Again, your greatest weakness becomes your greatest strength if it's directed correctly. Your greatest weakness can become your greatest strength. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. The Apostle Paul said, what you meant for bad, the Lord meant for good, Joseph said. Our God is able to deliver us out of your hand, Nebuchadnezzar, said Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And even if he doesn't, we still aren't serving you. And he still deliver us to himself. Let your adversity open your ears to the possibility of God's power and think of God's power in a new way. Your greatest weakness can become your greatest strength if it's directed correctly. In other words, trust God to turn your affliction into the instrument of your deliverance. People say all the time, what's God trying to tell me? And they mean so I can not get in trouble. Just trust God, and they mean that, and they mean it, and they mean well, but they're not hearing this message. This is the message of the Bible, potter and clay. And we always want to complain about being a cookie jar when he's making us into a coffee pot. Imagine those two men. Oh, I touched my face. Oh, no. And let's say it's Elijah and Moses, and it's the book of Revelation. They're supposed to come back down and be the two witnesses and all that. And they go, well, no, wait. No, they get to be like Jesus and leave the glories of heaven for the vagaries of the world. And they know they're going to get killed. But they know what's going on. Of course, they're like, we're going to do this job. We're going to do this. We're going to be excited. See, this is who we are right now. We're already seated in the heavenlies. We're already up there. Our job here is to show that Jesus is worth it no matter what happens. And so, of course, he allows things to happen so that when the rest of the world goes, We go, you got to be kidding me. This is easily worth it. Easily worth it. Doesn't matter what you have to go through. It matters who you are going with. It's not about getting to the place where, see, look, I've learned the formulas of faith, and so I never do, and this is what God, no. It's I have faith, and God's increasing my faith by allowing me to be struck down so that people will see I will still worship the Lord Jesus Christ no matter what, because that speaks, my friends. And in that way, it doesn't matter what they do to you, because no weapon formed against you can prosper, because what it's trying to do is get you to distrust, disbelieve, or disobey God. But when it gets you to more trust, more belief, more witness of God, then that thing that was attacking you becomes an instrument of testimony of God's goodness and righteousness. People say, I'd be a martyr. And they mean just in that moment, and they probably would. But he means for you to be a living sacrifice. You see, the Bible says the same things over and over and over and over again. It all fits together so incredibly well. That's how you know that God must have superintended the writing of it. Who's going to think of this? No, nobody. But who's living this? That needs to be your answer. Me too. There's your me too. Let's finish up. The book of Job is a prime example of how God takes what was meant for our bad and turns it around for our good. But it's not the ultimate example. The ultimate example is, of course, Jesus Christ. The very thing that brought us trouble, Jesus uses it as a means of triumph. He became poor that we might become rich. He took our sin to deliver us from sin. By his stripes, we're healed. Look at the cross and know your deliverance. This virus may take my life, but it can't take my eternity. These people can take my livelihood, but they can't take my life in God. I may be doing stupid things, but God knows exactly what he's doing. I might be doing something wrong, but he's doing something right. I might not be able to get it done, but he'll always get it done. And I'm trusting in him, not me. I'm not trusting that in 6 months they're going to come up with a vaccine. That'd be nice if they did. It'd be nice if we never have to deal with this again. A lot of things would be nice. But everything could be just the way we want it on earth, and it's still not heaven. Because I want the presence of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to look in him, and I want to touch his side. And I want to be with you in a perfect world with a perfect body and no sin, no sickness, no disease, no virus, no nothing, but Jesus and all of us worshiping and these things that seem like, how can that be? And actually feeling him and doing whatever you want to do. Because you're only going to do what God wants you to do, and you're going to like it. You're going to like it. You're going to like it. Yeah. Look at the cross and know your deliverance. Know your deliverer. Hear Jesus speak to you. He says, I am your deliverer. Open your ears. Know my voice. Hear my wisdom. Learn my ways. Feel my love. So what is God saying to you right now in this time of trouble and uncertainty? He's saying that he alone is your deliverer. That he alone can take the very thing that's troubling you and make it a triumph for you. Other people can get you out of it, but they can't turn the thing that was a trouble and turn it into a triumph. Only God can do that. If some trouble gets you to focus on God, to depend on him, to increase your faith and testify to his glory, then that very trouble is transformed into an instrument for your good. That's Christianity. So what does COVID-19 mean for God's church? Can this virus or the government or any dark conspiracy or sin, Satan, death, or anything else put an end to the church? No. Listen. Any and all affliction and adversity can only wind up energizing the church, propelling it on its collision course with its eternal destiny. And church, even if they kill the messengers, they can never kill the message. And the messengers themselves actually live again and live forever. Think about Jesus. Turn to him and trust in God's plan, purpose, and power. That is what God is saying right now. Father, I wonder how much of me was just really in that. My little side notes and all of this. But I know this. None of my imperfections can stop your perfection. And you are perfecting us and making us more like Jesus. And one day, we will know, because we will see you as you are, Lord Jesus, and seeing you, we will become just like you in our character. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, no matter how it is, no matter how it looks. Lord, what if there was a secret rapture and it wasn't so secret and everybody that was saved died by the COVID? I don't know any of that, Lord. That doesn't sound reasonable to me, but you can do all above what we can ask or think. And so we can think of something that happens this way or that way and all that. All I know is this. I'm on the Jesus train, and that's what I've got to be. People, get ready. Lord, take this word. Seal it to our hearts for our good, for your glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.